Okay, well, that was organised by Peter Owens, who is the owner of Colour Urban Design Limited and the chairman, Stephen Blacklock, the technical director at Colour Urban Design, and Nashwan Dawood, who's the professor at Teesside University, and also Hamid Kassem as well, who's also a senior lecturer there. So really, it's between the four of them that they applied to the Technology Strategy Board for funding to find better ways to implement BIM within landscape. As I said, they've been using BIM for some time in terms of the process and technology, and we're looking for ways to improve upon that and find efficiencies. So it was basically through a bid process, and I think knowledge transfer partnerships are something that it was the Technology Strategy Board, but is now Innovate UK. Is a proven methodology of kind of bringing up the SME side of the country's innovation funding, because I think that there can often be a difficult bridge to gap between smaller organisations and larger organisations in terms of being able to innovate and find new techniques and new technologies. So I think things like Innovate UK's knowledge transfer partnerships are a really important way of achieving that, and I'm really glad to be a part of that program.
Yes, and obviously it's a successful program because now you've gone on to really bigger and better things, and you're going to be speaking at BIM Show Live, which we'll talk about in just a second. But I was going to ask about the book. I had a question down, but you already discussed it, so it was nice that you didn't need prompting. That was good. But one thing I will prompt you on, I will ask you, when is there a release date on the card? Is it going to be end of 2015, perhaps 2016? Obviously, you've got a day job and the book to write and BIM Show Live to prep for. So when can interested parties expect to have the book in their hands?
Well, I'm gonna have to keep stum about that, I'm afraid. That's up to the editing, processing, and the administration side of things now. There's been a lot of work to do, and I'm really excited about it. And I think no matter when it comes out, it will definitely be really useful for people. But yeah, I'm afraid I can't confirm a date just yet.
Damn, no beans spilled, but some confidence shown, which I like. The information, the passion you have clearly for BIM for Landscape that you put across to me today and to the listeners, it's going to be good. We're excited. Now, let's talk BIM Show Live. Going to be in Manchester doing your presenting debut to discuss BIM for Landscape. What can people listening to this who are also going to be attending expect to hear from you, and how excited are you for the event?
Well, I'm massively excited, obviously, and slightly freaking out. I think it's probably going to be the biggest audience I've ever had. I think the most people I've spoken in front of before is about 40 people, so this is going to be the next level, which will be exciting. In terms of what you can expect, I think what I have in mind is essentially, as per the website, it's a two-scale discussion. We have BIM for the site scale, which is, as I kind of hinted at previously, that's the kind of traditional construction process. And then there's the kind of super site scale, which is something that certainly I know people like Anne Kemp of Atkins have
Yes.
been looking into for years in terms of bringing together GIS and BIM. And I think landscape architecture can provide some real innovations there. So it's going to be at those two scales. So we will be looking at the various tools that are available at the site scale for creating, analysing, and communicating a landscape in terms of kind of BIM excitement and BIM models and just amazing things that come out of that. I'm trying not to give too much away, but I want to tell you everything. It's really annoying. So there's that at that scale. And then at the super site scale, we'll be looking at how GIS and BIM can interact in terms of infrastructure, in terms of planning, and in terms of kind of the more granular aspect of the actual cities and trees and that sort of thing. Because I think one of the key things that landscape can bring to the table of BIM is this kind of holistic approach to design and to analysis, that we are key participators in that process. So we are very often working with architects or engineers and planners to kind of bring about benefits. It's a look at where we are now, and it's also a bit of a future gaze in terms of how landscape architecture and the other landscape professions, such as ecology and arborists, who are a key part of the development process and who are a key part of kind of protecting the environment, how we can all work together in the future in a changing environment to bring about landscape and cityscapes that we can be proud of, that are sustainable, and bring joy to people as well.
Fantastic. Listen to you, Henry. Literally, you are kind of seemingly opening doors for so many different niches within BIM and within architecture and the construction industry, really. Nice that you're linking BIM and GIS. There's a lot going on at the moment. Last year, in November, GeoBIM Europe kicked off. Coming up in May as well, the Inspire Geospatial World Forum is going to be touching again on GIS and BIM's relationship. So interesting that you're going to be bringing that up as well. Very excited to hear that at BIM Show Live. And if they didn't want to make it seem any more scary for you, you are kicking off day two. So yeah, just throw you in first, right in the deep end.
I'm freaking out, it's fine.
Now, before we go to the quickfire questions, there is just one quick more question to ask in regards to yourself and your profession. There seems to be a real lack of confidence from landscape architects regarding the adoption of BIM. As they don't seem to be sure what BIM can provide them with, maybe they're put off by the name. And I spoke to Claire Thirlwall about this as well a month or so back in crunch time. She said she feels as though there needs to be a lot more case studies released to inspire landscape architects for them to read over and be like, actually, you know what? BIM is really helpful to me. So do you think that's the same type of thing? Or what else do you think needs to be done for landscape architects to understand that BIM is helpful for them?
I think in terms of comparing landscape architecture with other professions, I think there are people within landscape architecture now who are beginning to shout about BIM for landscape. And I think that's really where we've been lacking. We've been lacking the kind of the evangelists like myself, although I try not to be an evangelist, I try and be even handy. We have lacked that. And I think that's often in terms of seeing a cultural change and seeing an innovation change in the way people do things and the technology they use, it's not always about the technology that's available, because I know that a lot of other professions suffer more than landscape architects do with kind of adapting to technology change. I shan't name them and shame them, but I've spoken to professionals who are required frequently to model up to 8 times using 8 different packages for the same products, because they're really desperate to provide these extra advantages to their clients and to the industry and themselves, that they are willing to kind of go through this hard learning process. But their organizations, their professional organizations, have been really pushing that. And I think the Landscape Institute has been kind of gradually pushing and pushing more and more. So I think what we're going to see is, as this enthusiasm and momentum builds, I think we will see people just jumping on board and just rolling their sleeves up and just getting amongst it. And I think that's really what's required, because it's not easy for anyone to begin implementing innovation in their organization. There's lots of things that you need to deal with and lots of things you need to manage. And I think landscape architects, I don't think they face as many problems as they think they do. There definitely are challenges there, but I think with a little bit of communication, talking to the right people, reading the right books, I think they'll be able to really make the right decisions of what's right for them. And I think there is a problem in that BIM has, is that the word itself is so big. Defining BIM is almost impossible. I mean, people do say it's a process supported by technology. I sometimes say it's process and it's technology, and there are almost 2 different schools of BIM. But there is just so much information about BIM that I'm not surprised that people, and not just landscape architects, are concerned about BIM. And I think it's a real challenge for us to be able to present BIM in an understandable and an approachable way, because I think it is something that people should just naturally get on board with. It's just a natural evolution of how we should be doing things. So I think in terms of going back to the kind of the specifics of the question, I think landscape architects have been facing this huge wall of information that's very difficult to penetrate for people who are quite time poor, which is, as I say, true across a lot of professions. So I think as information becomes clearer to them, as they see what are they actually required to do for a BIM project, for a BIM level 2 project specifically, I think they will be able to understand what they've got to do and be able to do it. Because at the end of the day, what's unknown is probably the scariest thing in the world. And I think for a lot of people, I think BIM is an unknown. So it's kind of one of my personal missions to make it more digestible and easier for people to understand, so that it doesn't have to be as scary as a lot of people find it.